today is August 17th, year 2008. It's the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Just do a brief commentary on the epistle here. You remember within the past year, I think I forget when I did a tape on judging, when that apostate priest Father Rausch could not tell anybody who goes to hell. Well, here's St. Paul in his epistle reading is telling us plenty of people who go to hell and what sends them to hell. He says, we just don't know who's in hell, which means he doesn't know what sends you to hell. So guys, it's like I always said, and I said that before, it's like asking a math professor who knows calculus and algebra how much 2 plus 2 is, and he says, I don't know, it's a great mystery. But anyways, what's St. Paul telling us in here? He's saying the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, which you see all over the place, luxury, which a luxurious lifestyle gets you spoiled in loving the world, and then you turn away from God, idolatry, witchcrafts, idolatry, the worship of all false gods and false religions is all idolatry. Every false religion is idolatry, even Protestants, because they don't worship the true Christ. They worship a false Christ. It's idolatry. And like, there's other forms of idolatry, loving money more than God, loving your family more than God. You're idolizing that family member. You're idolizing money. That's a form of idolization. Witchcrafts, outward witchcraft, which you see happening all over the place. People try to justify by saying there's this good thing. There's a white witchcraft, which is good, and a black witchcraft, which is evil. No, it's all evil. God condemns all witchcraft. All witchcraft involves going to the devil, either for favors or to put a curse on somebody. And either way, what's evil about it is you're going to the devil and not to God. You haven't gone to God for help. You've gone to the devil. That's what witchcraft is. Witchcraft is any time you go to the devil for help. And our Lord even says that in 1 Kings 15:23 that it's like the crime of witchcraft to rebel against God, and like the crime of idolatry to refuse to obey. So everybody that even rebels against God, in essence, is really going over to Satan. It's a form of witchcraft. So witchcraft is people who go to the devil for help instead of God and give their allegiance to the devil. He says enmities. That's between people bickering and fighting over stupid things. Things that should not even be... things that you should fight over are things that deal with faith and morals, that are serious issues, life and death, and certain things, yes. But enmities is bickering over stupid little things, you know? Dumb little things, because of greed and enviousness and covetousness, creates enmities between people because of envies, jealousies, and all that. He says contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, which brings out quarrels, dissensions, sex, splits, you know? When you know you're not of the church, when you start having people split off into different beliefs. I was just telling that to Ron on the way down here. It's amazing when you look at these Protestant churches. They're all over the place, like a plague of boils. They're all over the place. Anyway, when you're walking down, driving down here today, I'm looking on the left and I see the one fairly big Protestant church. There's a bunch of cars in there. Then there's a smaller one on the right-hand side about half a mile down, and there's a few cars in there. And then one block, there's another sign, Church of Jesus Christ. Go down one block, and there's a building, and there's a bunch of cars in there. And I said to Ron, I know what happened to that. See, that's the bigger church, the one that was one block in. I said, somebody in there disagreed with the pastor and didn't agree with what he was teaching. And because they all rest the scriptures onto their damnation, like St. Peter says, in 1 Peter 2:20, understanding this first, that no prophecy of scripture is made by private interpretation. So what happened in that big church was some guy got up and said, I don't believe in your interpretation of the word of God, so therefore he created his own faith, his own church. And you can see he's right around the block from it. So he opened up his little church, and he got a few cars in there, because the people who believed like him followed him. And I'm saying, how pathetic Protestants are. They're like going from one church to another, and they don't see anything inconsistent in their behavior. How is that? That's where St. Paul says in here, avoid sex and divisions and schisms. Can't you see the schism, you Protestants out there? Use your common sense. And what does the Protestant base his judgment upon when he decides to go from one church to another? His own personal opinion, or the opinion of some other Protestant who came up with a different interpretation than his pastor? So it's an endless dividing and schisms once you break away from God. Even the Jews have these schisms amongst them. They have no one central authority. Even when you do have a central authority like some churches claim to be, God's grace isn't really there holding and cementing that together, because God's not with it. God's will is for everybody to break away from false religions. It's God's will. God's grace works on every non-Catholic to make them recognize that their religion is phony and that it is false. And by the natural law alone upon their heart, and by God's grace and their ability to reason, they can know that what the church they're in is wrong. So God is the one who's even fostering these things to make these people finally realize when they go to one church and say, hey, I don't like what he's teaching, this is false. I don't like what he's teaching, this is false. And then all of a sudden the guy's got to put two and two together. Hey, I've been walking around in circles all this time, and I don't know, I have no way of really knowing what is true. Lord, this can't be your church, because if you're the God of truth, how could all these churches which profess something different call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ? All these things should come to the mind of a good-willed person until he ends up in the one church that has true unity, which is the true Catholic Church, in which we are of one mind and one spirit because we profess the one faith, which means dogmas that were infallibly defined by popes, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That is the only way that mankind can know absolute dogmatic truth for certain. By the Pope speaking infallibly by the assistance of the Holy Ghost and handing down to Catholics the deposit of faith that was given to us by Jesus Christ. So we're driving down. It amazes me. I say, what goes through the minds of these people? And what baffles me is these churches are now being filled up with cars. People love these churches, but the true Church of Jesus Christ nowadays, they hate. But haven't they always hated the true church? Haven't the bulk of mankind always hated the true church? In the days of Noah, how many people were in the true church? Just Noah and his family. Everybody else was in schism or heresy away from... They say at that time they weren't worshiping idolatry, but that's an opinion, but they were just immoral or faithless in one way or another. But that's questionable. You know, if there was... I don't know if there was idolatry at that time. That's an opinion. Some people say it was just they were very immoral and they were in schism from God. But whatever the case may be, they weren't in the one church. And when Moses went on Mount Sinai, he took all those Jews out of Egypt. God said, all these Jews are faithless. And Moses, you're the only one. I'm going to make a new nation out of you alone. Because the people always want to go in bulk to falsehoods because they love to break God's commandments. They want to sin and they made a pact with the devil. So they make all excuses to follow the devil and deny the true God. But when just drive down anybody in your cities and look at all these Protestant churches, what are they all about? And if you even followed one guy, you'd probably see, like, you know, you go by and you'll see, like, a red station wagon in this church one week. And then you go, hey, that guy, now he's in this church. And now he's over here. And you'll even speak to somebody's Protestant. They think they can even go to one church one week, another the other week, and they hop all over the place. Because they believe, like Luther said, all you got to do is believe in Jesus. That's the only dogma you got to believe in. The rest of them is all up for grabs. So according to Luther, you don't even got to pray. You don't even got to obey God's commandments. All you got to do is say, I believe in Jesus and you're going to heaven. You go out and break every one of God's commandments. What is St. Paul saying here in the epistles? Anybody who does any one of these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkards. A Protestant who's a Catholic who's a drunkard. He goes to hell if he doesn't overcome his drunkenness, his alcoholism. Look what St. Paul says here, you Protestants. Listen, he's not just talking about sins of unbelief, such as idolatry and witchcraft, which are sins against the faith. He's talking about immodesty. A woman who walks around immodest, what is she really saying to people? Look how pretty my body is, come and molest me. She really is. Now, it amazes me with these feminists. When they get raped, they yell bloody murder. These men are barbarians. They're brutal. They rape me. Well, look at the way you're dressing. Well, what do you mean? Well, why are you dressing like that? Well, what do you mean? What is your purpose? I want men to look at me and glorify my flesh and lust after me. That's why, really, I say to you folks years ago, and not too long ago, even in this country, bad as it is and was, it's gotten even worse. But the point was that when a woman came to court and she was immodestly dressed and she was caught, the rape charge wouldn't hold up. They would say to the woman, you seduced the man. It's your fault. And I'm not, the man's still guilty himself, but the woman lured him in. I thought about that today. You see all this flesh hanging out all over the place. And the makeup, and ugly, they look ugly to me, by the way, folks. This is not pretty to me. If you're a man of God, you love the simple woman without makeup, who's humble, that's prettiness to me. That's not. These Hollywood women are ugly. I'm honest, they're ugly to me. They look like monsters to me. And they think they look pretty. They look like these goofy little buffoon Barbie dolls walking around. They're idiots. But what are they saying to the world? Come look at my flesh. I'm pretty. Can you imagine this? And then when a guy comes after her and he starts molesting her or harassing her at work, she goes, how dare you harass me? Well, look at your flesh is hanging out all over his eyes. Why are you doing that? Put your flesh back in and cover it up. And St. Paul says that alone will send you to hell. In modesty. Because when I finish reading this list of sins, says, look what St. Paul says, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you now, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. Luther says, all I got to do is say I believe in Jesus and I can go around and do all those things and get to heaven. You see, folks, how bad-willed Protestants are. Every one of them. Everybody in the world right there today who is not Catholic is bad-willed in whatever religion he belongs to or whatever God he believes in, or he doesn't even believe in God at all. Because a natural law upon his heart with God's grace can tell him that each one of those religions is false, each one of those gods is false, each one of their doctrines that they teach on one or more points is false or on faith or morals. They can know these things because it's God's will that they should not be in there. The fact that a Protestant hops around all the time should make him at some point in his life sit down and say, something's wrong here, I'm really not absolutely correct. Because if God's all truth, He promised that the Holy Ghost is the pillar and ground of truth in 1 Timothy 3:15. The church, the pillar and ground of truth. That God's church is the pillar and ground of truth. And the truth shall set you free, John 8:32. He's telling us about the truth. But the Protestants are telling us there really is no way to know the truth. Because God never gave any person on the earth leadership in His church to infallibly define the truth. And they should sit back and say, you know, I think the two churches I was talking about, one was called the Church of Jesus Christ, and the other was the Church of Jesus Christ. And then the other one's the First Church of Jesus Christ, the Second Church of Jesus Christ. I've been looking all over. I know, there it is, you know. And they all believe in something different. But the natural law upon the heart and reason could tell that. Why is he going there? And I'm going to tell you why most of them go there. If I become Catholic, I'm going to have to stop committing adultery. If I become Catholic, I'm going to have to stop lying or robbing or cheating or stealing. I'm going to have to start obeying all of God's commandments, because everybody has one or two commandments they like to disobey, or simply because they're rebels and they don't like hierarchic order and obedience to authority. So they go to the Protestant church because everyone's equal, which is heresy. No, not anyone is equal. And the fact that you don't owe allegiance, obedience to a hierarchic order, that's what a lot of these people are all about. They don't want to go to authoritative church. So they're rebelling against God Himself, who is the ultimate in authority in heaven, sitting on the throne with Jesus Christ on His right hand. And on the right hand of Jesus Christ is the Blessed Mother, is the Queen of Queens, right next to Jesus. Yes, folks, ruling, barking out orders if you're disobedient in commands and punishing people when they sin. But when you go to the Protestant church, they don't have to do none of that. They all could sit up on the throne. And they might tell you, well, I'm not trying to sit on God's throne, but you really are. Because the minute you knock down that hierarchical order, it doesn't stop. It goes right to God. You want to be your own God. But St. Paul in here is talking about all these things that will send you to hell. He didn't say maybe, maybe not. He says, and I quote it again, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold to you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. Did you hear that again, Father Rausch? Did he say that to the people that he was talking to throughout the whole world on that History Channel? When he had the ear of all these sinners that are on the road to hell, did he try to reach out and save them and tell them that everybody who's doing, just quote the thing and shut your mouth? I would have said, okay, you're a little bit weak, you're a chicken because you haven't liked the Bible. I want to just have you quote right here. And by the way, folks, I'm quoting there from our daily epistle reading, which is Galatians 5:16 to 24. I want you to get on, just quote that. Then you're going to at least, then somebody, what happened? That's how I converted, believe me. I was committing quite a few of those sins you just heard there. And when I picked up that Bible and read it, because before that I did make excuses for my sins. I did. But when I read the Holy Scriptures, it converted me to instant convert. I was converted right then. And Paul was talking to me, Richard, anybody who does these things that you're now doing will go to hell. I couldn't escape it. St. Paul's telling me, you're going to go to hell. I had to look into myself and say, it's evil. I don't want to go to hell. Because modern theology doesn't want to read these hard verses. That priest up there said he has no idea of who goes to hell, which means he doesn't have any idea of what sends you to hell. And as I said before, everybody who's not Catholic goes to hell if they die that way. That means anybody who lives, and anybody who dies as a Talmudic Jew or a Muslim and goes to particular judgment as a Talmudic Jew, Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or any type of non-Catholic religion goes to hell on that alone. And all Catholics who break God's moral commandments and die in mortal sin go to hell. And that's why very few people are saved. And I said many times, if very few people are saved, which our Lord God says, how could it be that this priest comes on and is telling us he doesn't know who it is that's going to hell when almost everybody's going? That's a cruel God, as I said many times, was not going to tell you about that. Well, they've developed a theology to say now that most people really are saved. That started in the 16th century when they started denying the salvation dogma. They didn't believe that most people were damned. They're trying to make an excuse that the whole human race is really good, in spite of the fact that the history of the whole Bible, which tells us about humanity, is always massively rebelling against God, to the point where he only saved 8 people when he flooded the world, to the point where he told Moses, I'm going to kill every Jew on the bottom of Mount Sinai except you, and possibly Joshua, who was up there with him, and I will make a nation with you. How's that for how bad people are? That only Joshua and Caleb were the only two that entered the promised land. Of those who left Egypt. And about all the Old Testament prophecy, that so few people are saved that it's like when people go through a vineyard and it's time to pick the grapes, and they already picked all the grapes out for and sent them out to the market. Whatever's left laying on the ground is going to be saved. The rest goes to hell. In spite of Jesus saying in Matthew 7:13-14, enter the narrow gate. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. In Matthew 20:16, many are called, and few are chosen. And Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man come, think he find faith on earth. But you have these modern theologians coming out and trying to tell us all now that everybody's really good, and when they do sin, it's not really their fault, and God overlooks it because of some type of invincible ignorance, and so therefore, most people are saved. You even have one of those, I'm not going to get into this to detail right now, but you had one of these heretical theologians, Garrigou Lagrange. I don't know if I pronounce his first name the right way. His name's Garrigou Lagrange. He's a real famous theologian in the, I think, 19th century, or no, 20th century even. He went from the 19th into the 20th. I don't know what his dates are, but I'll get that, and maybe I'll talk it over on here and he'll let you know. But I'm just going to give you one idea about how bad these guys are. This guy denied the salvation dogma. He believed people can get to heaven who are pagans and Jews, dying as pagan and Jews. He denied the dogma. Just like everybody did at that time, but I'm not going to mention that now. But I just want to give you how stupid he is when he's trying to push his view. And because now he's saying most of these people are really going to be saved who don't need to believe in Jesus. All you got to do is believe there's one God who rewards and punishes, and even the pagan can do that implicitly. Then you have most people in heaven. And so then you've got to profess another heresy. Most people are saved and few people are damned. Now, he doesn't take his side on it. He agrees that the few saved is a viable opinion, but he puts forward his opinion. And it's not an allowable opinion. It's heretical. So when he starts out to try to give his opinion, he goes, well, first we must consider the angels in heaven along with the human beings. And because most angels didn't fall, if we combine the angels and men, then most people are saved. No, shut up. We ain't talking about angels. And number one, the angels didn't need to be saved because they never fell. They didn't need to be they never fell. You dummy. We're talking about people who need to be saved. We're talking about people who are under a sentence of condemnation and need to be redeemed. So leave the angels out. He did that to sway the reader's mind to say, hey, you know, if we consider angels and men together, then most people are saved. So always get your mind going into that realm. Then he talks about that fewer saved. Jesus meant only the Jews at that time. No way. He's talking about the whole human race. It goes back to the Old Covenant when you see how God destroyed almost the whole human race in the time of Noah. It applies for all times. When Jesus said when he comes a second time, will it be faith left at all? So he's misinterpreting deliberately these verses and taking them out of context. Then he comes out and says the stupidest thing. And I tell you folks, he's another Thomistic scholastic dummy. I spoke about it last week. He's a theophilosopher, a notorious heretic, an idiot, a buffoon, that even a little kid could realize how stupid it is. And you know what he came out then to defend his thing? He goes, well, let's consider men now because angels... You know, let's talk about are most men saved or few men saved? He says, first of all, we don't even know if there's men on other planets. You know, other than Earth. That's what he said. I call him the deranged Lagrange. The deranged Lagrange. I'm probably pronouncing masquerading his name, but who cares? I got no respect for the man. Who cares? With filth like that. Now, do you understand the immensity of what he just said there? He says, but we will consider just men on earth for the sake of my discussion. Wait a second. That's got quite a few heresies in there, folks. Adam and Eve were the ones that were the beginning of the whole human race, and from them came every human. So if there's people on other planets, where did they come from? And what happens to original sin? And do they need to be redeemed if they don't have the original sin? But it's heretical because God said the whole human race comes from Adam and Eve. That's where Christ came from. That would mean there's a whole other race of humans and other planets in which Christ didn't even come from that race of humans. And what does it do to the dogma of original sin and the redemption and that all men have sinned except Jesus and Mary? It's dogma, folks. All human beings since Adam and Eve are guilty of original sin except Jesus and Mary. Therefore, there can be no people on other planets, you dummy. You idiot. Because they talk and they fantasize in their mind stupid things, and I have no doubt that the devil even gives them visions, you know. Like one day he's looking out, and all of a sudden he's dreaming, and the devil gives him a vision of Pluto, and he sees people walking over there going to an A&P or something on Pluto, or on the moon. And he wakes up and he goes, I saw the moon. There's people on, you idiot. You believe everything in your dreams, you stupid dummy. Anything that contradicts dogmas, I don't care if an angel comes from down from heaven in all his glory and tries to tell me something heretical, I will not listen to it. Moses said that in Deuteronomy 13:1, that if there shall arise a prophet in the midst of you, or one who dreameth a dream, and he foretell a sign, and that which he foretell come to pass. That happens. And he says, let us go follow strange gods. Thou shalt not hear the voice of that prophet and dreamer, for the Lord God trieth you to see if you love him with your whole heart, your whole soul, or your whole mind. An angel, if the Blessed Mother looked like the Blessed Mother in every way. And she says, guess what? Muslims are holy people, and it's good to go to the mosque. I spit on that image. That ain't the Blessed Mother, because Catholic dogma comes before all visions. This is what happens when these scholastic people, when they merged philosophy with theology, which I call theophilosophy, and they develop this new way of talking, which is a syncretism. We call it bugs in their brains. They're eccentric. They're insane. Read their stuff. It's insane that this guy should even be allowed to propose such a thing as that. And then he goes on giving his other explanation as to why he thinks that most people are saved. And I would say to that man, you buried your nose in Aristotle and Cicero and Plato for so long, you despise the Word of God. Because the Word of God, and I read the Bible every day. I don't know how many times I read it from front to back, and if I'm not reading, I'm looking at movies on the Bible. This is not what the Bible, this is not what God says, it's not what the Pope say. Every time you read it, mankind is always going back to the point where God said in the days of Noah, and even the time, first he said Noah's, I did regret the day I made men. Because they are all, almost down to the last one of them, evil. And he said it to Moses, I regret bringing the Jews out here, I'm going to kill every one of them because they're evil. And that led, that because you had that philosophy, you have the mythology, then it led to mythology, then went into pornography with naked people all over the Vatican, which is the Romans' one curse, showing gross faithlessness. It manifests itself in the 16th century, that was the beginning of the denial of the salvation dogma when theologians began to teach it. And then because they were teaching that all kinds of people can be saved, whether they believe in Jesus or not, then they said, hey, guess what? This is good news, man. Almost everybody's saved. They went into their next heresy about most men being saved. I'm not going to, next week, maybe within a week or two, we're going to go into more detail and explain how that progression took place. But here's a guy himself, this deranged LaGrange. And I tell you, it's torture reading their stuff. Anybody of goodwill is going to spit all over these two. Speak English, pal. All right. Stop making up complicated words to try to confuse me and confuse other people. And stop talking about things that are absolutely worthless and unnecessary and in ways which is arrogant and condescending. I will ask you and I will challenge you and I will tell you, show me in the Bible where God Almighty speaking to his prophets talks like that, you filthy man. You filthy, stupid man. A little kid's going to say, I'm telling you, take a kid who's 7 years old and read that trash to him. He's going to go, Mama, that guy's crazy. Is he a little goofy? Is he drunk? Has he done drugs? Or did they let him out of the nut house? That's what these theologians are. My biggest torture in this life that I live in is reading their books because I got to refute them. God knows it. I say to Sister Jane all the time when I'm reading these books, I wish... I feel like I'd rather have my skin peeled and vinegar poured all over me than have to read their filth. That's how much I hate it. I hate it with a perfect hatred. Because it's a diabolical deception that was created to deny God and His truths. And they are, and you catch a lie on every page. I can rip them to pieces with a surgical knife if I want on every point. But I'm not going to go that far because I'd have to write a book that would fill up this whole room. But I'm going to expose them just enough to let you know. Here's this guy, deranged LaGrange, talking about other people being on other planets. What is this? And he was one of the favorite three theologians of apostate anti-pope John Paul II. He loved them. They're a bunch of gangsters. And these are the heroes of today. All right? So, here you are. Look at St. Paul talking about people doing all these things, and that's all you see happening today, is these sins. Before I speak too much about it and get into another sermon, we're going to save that probably for next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.